to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Tellius Tyler.
I am so excited for this episode. This is, you're in for a treat, audience. Yeah. The 70th episode is going to be phenomenal.
70 episodes, I mean, just to sidetrack here, 70.
Right.
That's awesome. I like that. Okay. And then, after much anticipation, we are finally rejoined by one of our favorite guest hosts here on NEP, Crumcho.
Yay!
Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome
good to be back finally.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Thank God that we have a three team show, and we lost the dead weight that is Will.
Oh, so, wow.
Dude, I love Will. I'm
he just died 3 weeks ago.
I miss him.
Come on.
I miss Will. I really
rest
do.
In peace, Will. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah, I do love you, Will. I miss you.
I have like 5 jokes in my head, but we're pressed for time, so I'm going to keep going. But yes, we have Cho, so we have a 3-person team again. We're all very excited, so we're going to start off right off with, what have you been playing? And Crumcho, since you are our guest and you haven't been on the show in a while, why don't you tell the people at home what you've been playing?
Okay, I have been playing Dynasty Warriors 9.
Wow, that's great, amazing. Tyler, how about you? Kidding.
Hey! Let me talk about my husbands.
No, she said husbands.
Yes. Plural. I love everybody, okay?
I mean, technically speaking, you know, the odds that you would find your one specific soulmate in, you know, 11 billion of the world's population, including virtual characters, is, you know, it's non-existent, so...
Except I've already found mine 3 times.
Well, I mean, you know how much I love Michaela, so...
That's true.
We're not even going to go there today.
No, we're not. Focus on Dynasty Warriors, Joe.
Okay, Dynasty Warriors. I am really enjoying it. I'm not very far in it, but it's just so fun. I really like the open world gameplay they've got going on in this one. I know a lot of people didn't like it and were complaining about how, like, not every game has to be open world and whatever, but I think it fits really well in Dynasty Warriors, and, like, I'm just having a blast playing this game, honestly. I think it's gotten pretty bad reviews so far.
I heard it was, like, glitchy, but that's, like, the big thing. And I think it was the PC version is what I was hearing.
Oh, I'm getting glitches in the PS4 version, but honestly, it's really funny. Like, they're not, or at least for me, I'm not getting any, like, game-breaking glitches. Just funny ones that are just, like, honestly, are just enhancing the gameplay.
Yeah, I saw your floating box.
Yeah, I've got floating boxes, and honestly, that was a treat. I climbed up that mountain, like, I seizure climbed up that mountain. And, because, like, it's pretty glitchy trying to jump up the mountain and you're just, like, shaking everywhere. It's really funny. And to turn around and see the floating boxes, it was, like, a treat. Like, Breath of the Wild could not capture the beauty of the floating boxes.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild's stupid, perfect physics system. There's no joy like that.
Clearly, you didn't see the one of the greatest loopholes of all of gaming. What you do is there is a minecart in the Goron level.
Yeah, I did see this. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you use your magnetism on the cart while you're inside. You have a floating minecart.
Yeah, that's
no,
sick.
Not floating, flying. You can go like all over the world.
You see,
that is really funny.
Some speedrunners will like they'll freeze a tree, they'll chop it down, and they'll whack it.
This.
And climb onto the tree, and then the tree like takes off like a rocket, and it just flings you across the map.
I haven't tried to do that yet.
Yeah, which anyone who watched Dragon Ball knows that that's a reference to one of the legendary character assassins that Goku fought in the original Dragon Ball. So there you go.
Fun fact: the more you know. Anyways, Dynasty Warriors 9. It's so fun. I'm just so enjoying it so much. For me though, like, nothing is more zen than Dynasty Warriors. Like, I can just meditate while I'm hacking. Like, you hack and slash your way to inner peace.
Yes, I can relate to that strongly from Fire Emblem Warriors. Relate to that.
Like, and that's just every single Dynasty Warriors game. Like, I think they do make improvements, of course, every iteration of the game, but, like, it's just so peaceful. Like, nothing calms me down like playing a Dynasty Warriors game, honestly. And all the characters are just like, they're just so lovable.
Ugh.
I just love everybody. I'm okay. I gotta say, I'm so biased. I
You
say
think?
like I say like no, I love all of the kingdoms and I love all of the characters. I'm a Shu girl, I gotta say. I love the Shu Kingdom and I love Liu Bei so much. I stand for Liu Bei. My favorite characters are Ma Chao and Ma Dai, but still Liu Bei, Liu Bei.
Yeah,
Anyways.
like Bay, you know, like that kind of
Like,
spelling,
oh,
Bay.
beautiful, beautiful man, Liu
wait,
Babe.
so Dynasty Warriors, I am completely ignorant to the main series. So like Dynasty Warriors 8 follows the same cast as 9?
Try the other way around.
Yeah, sorry.
I am not as familiar with Dynasty Warriors as I'd like to be. Like I'm looking forward to going back and playing some of the older games, but yeah. They usually add new characters in every
Okay.
game, but the game follows the Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Gotcha. Okay, so
Yeah.
it's shared universe. See, I always kind of thought that they were all totally different story, like yeah, unconnected.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing every time because it follows that like historical novel. I think they change things up every time, like a little bit, and they add new characters. But yeah, you there's like the same characters are basically in every game. They just like update their designs, and I think they have different endings in the different games and stuff.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it's really fun though. Like I love it, honestly. And if you go like okay, if you go into a Dynasty Warriors game wanting to play like Final Fantasy 15 or Breath of the Wild, you're gonna be disappointed. But like if you go into a Dynasty Warriors game wanting to play a Warriors title, you will enjoy it. Like it's a fun game if you're not expecting it to be something that Dynasty Warriors is not, you know what I mean?
Which is
Yeah.
fair.
Our audience is totally familiar with the concept because I have been obsessing about Fire Emblem Warriors still, and I can continue to tell them that unless you really love Fire Emblem, like don't play it because it is a drug. Like
It is.
it's not a wholesome game. Like it's definitely you don't really feel better about yourself, like as a human being afterwards. Sometimes you feel kind of guilty when you realize you've played for 5 hours and all you've done is mash Y and X.
Okay,
But it's
yeah,
a
I didn't mind
ton of
that.
fun. It is a
I
ton of
felt
fun.
guilty that Omega Force again didn't listen to the fans by giving us a Crom and Cordelia support.
I know.
I mean, I've worked so hard for that, and then it was just A and not S. I'm like, what?
They
You
have
have failed this fan base.
so many like weird supports in there. I guess I'll transition into unless Cho, do you have anything else you want to add to what you've been playing?
No, I just really love Dynasty Warriors and I love Liu Bei. I love him so much.
Liu Bei.
Every time I use his Musou attack and he just in his beautiful voice says, "For my aspirations, I will fight to the end." Like, takes me to
That's it.
heaven,
That's
man.
it.
I just
Yeah.
feel good, man.
Well, the so I have been playing Fire Emblem Warriors, not to
What are the
overload
odds?
the
What are
world.
the odds?
Well, the new DLC just came out, right?
That's
And
true.
speaking of
Oh,
beautiful
right.
voices, there's a lot of transitions involved in this. Minerva's voice, I think it's the same voice actress from Heroes. She is so good. She is just phenomenal as Minerva. Minerva's voice is perfect.
But
Her moveset is a clone of Camilla's.
Boo.
I figured it would be, honestly.
Like the thing that I gave me hope that it wouldn't be is that Minerva doesn't use magic. You know, Minerva, she uses the haute éclair and that's it. She has no magic. But for some reason, you know, she attacks with fire like a lot, and it's just it doesn't make sense for her character. And Navarre is a Lin clone, and like again, like I kind of expected him to be a Lin clone. I expected that because, truthfully, conspiracy theory, Navarre was meant to be in the game originally, and
Yeah.
then they announced the roster. People got mad, and they said, "Who can we transpose his moveset onto? Oh, Lin's perfect."
Lynn.
So that's my conspiracy theory there,
It's
but.
kind of reasonable, actually.
Yeah,
Yeah, honestly.
I could definitely. I wouldn't be shocked.
And then Celica,
Right,
you know.
Celica's Marth.
Yeah, Celica's Mar, so it's just like, because there is honestly no reason she should have been in the game by herself.
No.
Lynn, you could argue, because she's, you know, like the matriarch, for lack of a better term, but not
From what I
Celica.
read, Celica and Lin were the characters that intelligence systems kind of force them to put in.
Really?
Yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, from what I read, I can't remember where I read this, so I might be a little off, but yeah, like, Omega Force chose, like, they wanted to do Fates, and they wanted to do Awakening, and they wanted to do Shadow Dragon,
yeah.
And then Intelligent System said, okay, you can put those characters in, but you have to have Lin, and you have to at least have Celica, and so they put those two in. That's why they feel out kind of out of place, was because that was entirely Intelligent System.
That makes sense. That's
fascinating.
Makes sense. That is. Yeah. That's see, that's why we have Cromshaw on, that expert analysis.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah. And like,
I hope I didn't mess that up, because like, honestly, I can't even remember where I read it, so take that with a grain of salt.
Fair enough.
But I do remember seeing an article about that.
I believe that you're right about that, because it sounds like you can see it when you're playing the game.
Yeah.
Like, they totally do feel out of place and as though they were tacked in. But, you know, ironically, Lin's moveset is phenomenal, and so is Camilla's. So these two characters, Minerva's the best character in the game, like, in terms of pure usability, like, because Camilla was the best character in the game by far, with Lin. I guess Lin and Camilla were actually kind of close. But Lin,
yeah,
is
Camilla
new...
is so fun to play.
Camilla,
like,
is a blast. And when I say that you feel guilty because you've just spent like 3 hours pressing Y and X, or dashing and pressing X, I think of Camilla's gameplay, because her dash body slam is just, it's broken. Like, she just kills everybody. You can kill 100 enemies in just one, like, fly real high and slam down on the ground.
Nothing is more satisfying or zen than doing that, though,
no,
right?
You're right. You're totally right. It's absolutely, like, it sounds amazing, but I am not sick of it. Like, I continue to want to play as Minerva because I love flying and slamming on stuff. But I'm definitely disappointed that they didn't say before these characters came out. And I know it's not a smart business move, but I wish they told us, okay, you know, this is what you're getting. Their movesets are Lin and Camilla's. And you're getting Lin, who has her entirely unique moveset, and her moveset is great, super cool, which is just even more frustrating because they really are capable of coming up with awesome movesets. Like, Lin
Clearly.
Is so much fun, and Robin is so much fun, and they're both infantry mages, and they play so different. But yeah, so I was frustrated by that. The new content, like, there's new game modes that are fun, and I would still recommend getting the DLC purely for the Fates bunch, because Azura and Oboro, mainly Azura, is there. That's literally the best character. She's the most fun character, I think, by far, and it's absolutely, I would pay $20 just to play as Azura. But the new content was pretty disappointing to me. Even, like, on the supports, they kind of, like, skimped out. Like, I think Xander has, like, 9 support partners, but Lind has 4, and Minerva has 5. And Minerva's supports are Ryoma, Noka, Lind, Sakura, and Marth. So, like, she supports Hoshidens and Marth and Lind. And that's, like, there's no...
Mm.
variety in there, and I think Lin is similar. Lin supports Leo, Marth, Sita, and Minerva, and it's like, yeah, you know, I wish we could have seen, like, you know, Lin interacting with Sakura, or, like, you know, just some sort of off the wall one, because in that game the support conversations are awesome, like,
yeah.
They're really, really good.
Marth,
yeah.
Marth, Camilla, Leo, and Frederick.
Yeah,
that was
funny.
Yeah. Like, will you be my fashion guy?
Like, yeah, what was it? I don't need a fashion. Yes, man.
Apparently you do, Leo. And then Camilla, you know, quote unquote, hitting on Marth. Or
Crom
was hilarious. It's like, what if I came closer? Oh, Camilla, stop.
Well, yeah, great. All of those, like, every character, Xander and anybody. Xander supports are awesome
I have not played as Xander.
He's so much fun.
I should work on his supports.
Yeah, he's weak when you start. Like, he's actually one of the worst units. But then when you get Siegfried's scroll and you unlock its power, he becomes a beast. Because his dash move, where he just starts chopping people while running, it doesn't kill everything originally. But once you have his weapon powered up, he does kill everything. So he just rakes in the kills. He's
nice.
Really, really good. Yeah, I love playing as him, but, and again, like, I could just spend hours playing as all these characters. I just wish that they put in the care for the Shadow Dragon DLC that they put in for the Awakening one. So I was disappointed by that.
Yeah, in all honesty, Like, don't get me wrong, I love Fire Emblem Warriors. I haven't played it in a while. I have a big backlog of games,
She
but I'm
does.
probably gonna go play it after the podcast, probably, because I want to try out the new DLC, Navarre. Anyways, I do feel like the game feels a little rushed to me. It doesn't
Really? I'm
feel.
surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah, because, okay, yeah, I know. I defended it a ton before it came out. And I will defend Koei and I will defend Omega Force to my death.
She will.
Like, I would take a bullet for Omega Force.
She would.
I do feel like maybe there wasn't as big of a budget or enough time on Fire Emblem Warriors as there was Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said that. The environments are bland. That's like there's a lot of smaller
And
nitpicks that I have.
yeah, the one thing too that like really just bothers me in this game is the Outrealm theme.
Yeah.
What in hell were they thinking with those designs? Like, that does not feel Fire Emblem at all. Like, it feels like that was scraps from another game, in all honesty.
That's an awesome point. It totally does. You couldn't
Like, it
have
just.
more generic looking
It,
villains.
they
Like.
look like they look like they should have been in a space themed game. Like, they look like
Metroid.
alien monsters, and like that just threw me off so bad
I never really thought about
playing
it
it.
until now, but you're right.
Yeah, like
You're
that was like
totally right, Todd.
that is
Metroid
honestly
is the
my
thing.
biggest complaint about that game is the Outrealm themed designs. Like, come on, guys. But I love this game, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, so do
I
I.
love it. I have so much fun playing it. But yeah, I feel like there was some outside factors, maybe pressure from Nintendo to get the game finished quickly.
Which is weird.
Maybe some infighting with maybe intelligence systems. Like, I have no idea,
Well, they
but
did
it
say that the team was
something felt
divided.
Yeah, the team
off.
was the team. We commented on a previous podcast that the team itself was divided because they were mad at what the roster was.
Yeah,
So.
but it does feel like there was less of something than there was in Hyrule Warriors. Because Hyrule Warriors, I would not change a single thing. The levels are
I wouldn't go
fun.
that
The
far.
care shush. The levels are fun. The characters were great, and they all felt different to me playing all of the characters in Hyrule
Agreed.
Yeah.
Warriors. And that had a huge roster as well.
I think it had the
What?
same size as Fire Emblem Warriors at
No,
this
not
point.
even not. No, okay, if we include the DLC,
Yeah, I'm
yes.
including DLC. I'm including
Okay, well,
DLC.
okay, that's different.
Total. Like, total right now.
I still think.
Everybody felt different. Everybody felt unique to play as. Like, of course, my favorite was Zan. Like, favorite character to play as, of
Yeah,
course.
I didn't get to play as him, but I was watching gameplay of him. He looked real cool.
Oh,
Man,
so
no.
much fun, too. So much fun. I also enjoyed playing as Ruto, even though I found her kind of difficult to play as. I loved playing as Lana and Sia, of course.
They all had different weapons with different combos too, right?
Yeah,
See, Fire Emblem Warriors doesn't have that. Like not only are there like all the archers exactly the same, Minerva, Marth and Celica, Minerva and Camilla. I'm missing some, but hey, there's a ton of clones. And in
and
Hyrule
that.
Warriors, they had different weapons with different combos, and
But
like.
let's recall here that with Fire Emblem, that the option to change weapons technically happens during Vrea Master Class, whereas in Zelda, one of the things that makes the game, especially with Link, is the ability to change weapons on the fly. So they wanted to incorporate that into all the other characters, whereas in Fire Emblem, you more or less have one or maybe two weapons if you're lucky.
Yeah,
Okay,
you're
unless
right. You're right.
so it's different styles of game. And remember, they had more characters to start than Hyrule Warriors did. So if they tried that with a bunch of characters, it could have gone a much longer time. Now,
True.
I agree that it should have taken a few months, especially with the benefit of hindsight, because ever since Xenoblade, and we're at 215 at the time of this recording, we're kind of in a dead zone right now
Yeah.
with the Switch. I mean, yes, we had Lost Sphere, which is okay, but a first party title to kick off the year really would have been good for Nintendo, and our next one is Kirby in March. Barring something happening, which we 95% sure that won't happen. But if and we noted long before, like with the moment we heard the release date was a week before Odyssey, we were like, are they trying to bury this game? So imagine if they gave it those extra, oh, let's say 3 months,
Right,
Yeah, honestly, that would have been the best move,
yeah.
but I do think that there was some pressure
I agree.
to release the game, and yeah, in a lot of ways, the game feels like I don't know, it feels a little off to me because, like, I love Omega Force so much. There were a lot of ways that I feel like they just could have been a little better.
Yeah.
It almost feels like there was some restriction or, like, some creative freedom maybe wasn't, like, they weren't, I don't know. I can't really describe it, but something feels off, especially in comparison to Hyrule Warriors. And the first Warriors game I actually played was Warriors Orochi 3 on the Wii U. Mm. And that was a fun game. Like, I loved the conversations that they had the characters do between their two titles, Samurai Warriors and Dynasty Warriors. I feel like they should have gone a route a little closer to Warriors Orochi. So, yeah, that's just my thoughts on Fire Emblem Warriors. Still love the game.
Okay. Okay, so as for me, and I'll go quickly so we can get to the next segment. So let's see. Cho's playing Dynasty Warriors. Tyler's been playing Fire Emblem Warriors. So I guess it's kind of ironic that I've been playing Hyrule Warriors. Don't Ooh. You wish?
No way.
You fooled me.
No. Sorry. Sadly, I have not. Not sadly. I enjoyed Hyrule Warriors, but I mean, it's on my Wii U, and I've been playing my Switch religiously, and I've honestly been playing a lot of games in the last week or so because I've been reviewing from various sites. So, like, I did Tiny Metal. Lita talked about that last week. Then I played a Steam game called Attack of the Earthlings, which I honestly don't recommend, but, you know, I still played it. And then I played a new game for Switch called it was Atomic Run Gun Jump Gun, like all one word. if you're looking for, like, old school, retro, you die in 30 seconds, but you're willing to try again, kind of like Celeste, but on, like, retro steroids. And that's saying something, Tyler, because you know what Celeste was like. This is a game for you. I mean, seriously, there are two buttons, which, again, it's kind of like Celeste. You either run, which you run automatically, but you either shoot or you jump via your giant machine gun thing. And you're trying to collect these energy containers called atomics so you can escape a solar system that's about to die from a sun. Like, you know, the star, not like a person. That would be weird. Although, if you read comics, never mind. So, you know, that's the thing. And that, like, that's, like, the only story. But then, like, as you go on, you see people talking to you as you're trying to collect. You're called a scavenger. Like, you're technically the bad guy here. And you're trying to collect these atomics so you can escape the solar system. You're seeing these aliens and humans and everything. And they're, Cho, you might want to plug your ears for this one. There was, like, this adorable alien creature trying to sell, like, sunblock. And then, like, right at the end of the level, he burned alive. Because that's what they do in Atomic Run Gun Jump Gun. It was, I don't know, I thought that was hilarious.
That's alive. The best name for a game ever.
Yeah, but it's one of those games where you don't think you'll like it, but then you find yourself, okay, I could get through it this time. I could get through it this time. And it was really clever with the level design, just like Celeste, you know. It's not, like, the deepest game, but how they structure it is amazing. So that's pretty cool. And then I just started Aegis Defenders, a game from Humble Bundle, of all people. And even though I've only played a few levels, it's oddly addicting because you have these different characters that have different abilities, and then they're trying to get these, let's call them relics. And to get them, you have to protect them from waves of monsters. So you have to set up traps and you have to fight them all within a time limit. And it's actually really clever. So I will have my review up, if not tomorrow, maybe Saturday or Sunday. It just depends. I'm seeing Black Panther tomorrow. So
nice,
yeah. So that's like 3 hours I could be spending playing Aegis Defenders, but definitely I'm glad I'm playing it. I actually waited to play it because there was an update that came out on the Switch for it, and so again, it's on Humble Bundle, which means it's probably very cheap, so definitely go check that out, and then expect my review by next week. So, with that, we got to get to the news. It's been a somewhat light week, but we've had some big stories we definitely got to talk on. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And how poetic that we have Cho with us when we talk about Fire Emblem! Alright, so Heroes had a big update, which really, like, overhauled the graphics of certain things.
It overhauled the game, like,
pretty much.
It's ridiculous, the changes.
Yeah. So I mean, we got, like, we got the tap battle. We got
respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, I do have some problems with it. What I like most, like, I didn't find the gameplay very satisfying, and I like rhythm games. I found this, like, way too jumbled. Like, I hope that they fix it in the next...
iteration?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was so worth it to me just to see my little team in the hot springs. Honestly,
okay.
It was just
see,
like...
See, that's where I draw the line.
I felt so blessed.
Joe likes it. Tyler hates it. I'm in the middle because I'm pragmatic that way because I didn't listen to the music. I didn't really care. I didn't really care for the gameplay. So what? But I got orbs from it, and I got
right.
Like, I got rewards from it. So I did it every night faithfully, and
me
then
too.
The whole tease of like what's at the bottom of these 100 levels. It's a hot spring.
I know. I was thinking
seriously?
It's a pile of orbs. Like
I was expecting if they had put like a shrine, like to a goddess statue, like Naga you know,
Mila Shrine.
Mila, or, dang it, don't say it, Yune and, who's
it's
the radiant?
An
Ashera!
Yeah.
Like, that would have been cool, like, a goddess statue, and you see them all, like, paying their respects because this is truly an honor. No! It's a hot spring! Because we truly would go 100 floors down fighting thousands of enemies just to go to a freaking hot spring!
Okay.
I would.
I know you would, Cho, but that's why you're not me.
Just to see Michaelis in a hot spring?
Here we go.
I would go and fight through 100 floors myself.
Oh, gosh.
Armed with nothing but Faye and Breidablik, okay?
So I actually liked the hot spring. I thought that was funny. But here's my thing. I thought I was going to hate it because it has nothing to do with Fire Emblem.
True.
And I stat point stance, but I love Guitar Hero, so like I don't have a problem with the rhythm game thing. I agree with Cho though; it's kind of boring. It's way too easy. First of all, I went right to the hardest level on after you beat it. I went right to the 100th floor on hard, and it took like 3 or 4 attempts to beat it. Which I know it's a mobile game, so it shouldn't be that hard. But there wasn't
honestly,
like it wasn't a big wall for me to get past. You know, it was just there.
I actually like. I don't know why, but I just, like, I cannot find the rhythm in this rhythm game.
Well, see, that's why I don't like your comparison to Guitar Hero, Tyler. That's kind of an insult to Guitar Hero. Because
well,
in Guitar Hero, you need to hit these notes to match the beat. But with here, you don't need to listen to the music at all, and
yes,
you're not missing
you're
anything.
Right. Well, that's
okay,
a
I
big
don't know
point.
If I'm just, like, you guys are finding it too easy, and I'm just finding it off. Like I
yeah.
don't, and
could
I'm a
both.
Huge, I'm a rhythm game fan. Like I'm pretty good at playing Project D.Va, which is the Vocaloid one.
Yeah,
you can recalibrate it on your phone too. Maybe it is just your timing.
No, I did. I recalibrated it a few times to try and find it, but like I think my problem is that, and I actually had this problem on Project D.Va. I'm not very good at playing it on easy modes. Like I think my problem actually might be your problem as well. I find like there's too much gaps between the beats, I guess.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
I want like I'm so like I play Project D.Va on like the hardest difficulties that it has, so I'm used to like bam 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 hitting notes, like every single note I hear I have to press a button for it, right? So in this game, like there's such a gap between the music, I think, that like I have a trigger finger. Like I'm just like tapping when I shouldn't be tapping because I'm going with the beat with the music I'm hearing, I guess.
Yeah, well that's my big problem too, is the thing that would have made this game great. Fire Emblem has fantastic music that's been showcased throughout Fire Emblem Heroes.
For sure.
For some reason, the rhythm game has 4 songs, and it's the same song. Like, if every floor had a different song, and it changed how you had to play the game, it would be awesome. I would actually love it. Like, if they had End of All playing on the 96th to 100th floor, I would be so hyped. I would love that. But no, it's the same stupid song. Like, it's a rhythm game without different music. Like,
yeah.
That's what I really hate about it. That's what makes me not like it.
I think... I'm going to give them some slack here because this is the first
I agree. It's
anything
the first one.
Fire Emblem rhythm related. So I'm going to give them some leeway here because I'm sure that they're going to improve things as they go. Because I mean, like, okay, remember the Voting Gauntlet and even Tempest Trials, their
yes.
first round of that
True.
Sucked.
True.
They made
True.
so many good improvements as
Since
they went
then.
On. So
I
think they're going to do the same thing with Tap Battle. So I'm not gonna be too harsh on them, but yeah, I didn't enjoy the actual gameplay as much as I was hoping I would. And yeah, the problem might be because it was too easy. I'm not really sure what was throwing me off, because I'm pretty good at rhythm games. Like, I love playing Project D.Va. I play it a lot. And I can get like good scores on those games on hard difficulties. But this was just so off for me. And again, I think it was just my trigger finger. I wanted to just, like, I don't know.
One problem
Yeah,
I
keep tapping. I'm
one problem
tapping
I
to the
really
beat.
had was that in all of the Fire Emblem Heroes games, you get different rewards, or you get sometimes better rewards for playing on harder difficulty. You don't have that here. You
Yeah,
get one
no,
reward
again, yeah, that
throughout.
was kind of
So like I thought, like, oh, I'll
disappointing.
blaze through this on casual, then I'll do it on hard, and I'll get, the same rewards or better. And it's not. So it's like you have no reason to do harder
Yes.
versions unless you just
Yeah.
want the challenge, which I respect you if you do, but it's like, why not just, save time and energy and just go right through it? But I do
For
agree
sure.
that it will likely get better. And again, I got orbs, so what do I care?
Yeah,
Well,
I got
there's
a hot
so many
spring, so.
other there's so many other awesome parts of this update too. Really, the there's a ton going on in the game right now, but like with the Grand Hero Battle rotations, the weekly challenge on Lunatic, there's a ton of quests that are going to be there all year, so I guess every day will be the Hero or Grand Hero Battle will reopen. Those are really hard and a lot of fun. I've actually cleared them all after intense laboring. But that was super cool. But the balance update as well to some of these characters is fantastic. So they buffed a bunch of different weapons. Falchion got buffed. Felicia got a big buff. What's his face? Raven got his a legendary axe from FE7. But the biggest thing is Alm. Alm got his Falchion refined, right? And I just am so happy because Alm was terrible. And if you recall, way back in the day when Alm first came out, I blew $60 trying to get him because I love Alm. And it was a huge waste of money. And Alm's not even good. But now
For
his
you.
Falchion refined. No, he's amazing because he has his Falchion is a brave weapon now. It's a brave sword. Like, so he kills every dragon, which also got huge buffs, so dragons are everywhere. Alm is a
They
god.
really are, honestly. Like, Arena is just like so much dragon.
It's all dragons. And now
Dragons and Alm, that's all that the arena has for it right now.
exactly. It's like teams, you just run three dragons and Alm to kill the other team's three dragons.
Basically,
It's like, but it totally has like changed the dynamic of the game, which is really cool. And I hope that they keep doing that. Like, make those old characters that kind of get phased out because better versions of them come out, and give them cool buffs like that
Honestly,
give them different utility.
please buff Silph. Please.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah. He's got
God,
Divine Terror thing now, but he's still
that's
like.
so crap for him. Like, it makes no sense for him to have that.
Yeah, it's true. It's
Like,
true.
his unrefined tier thing works better for him than the refined one. Like, he's broken. He needs to be fixed. He needs a Band-Aid and a juice box, please.
Okay, well, the other updates was like they have now merged the Tempest Trials icon with the Voting Gauntlet icon for the event icon, and now we have a mystery icon in the top left-hand corner of our screen,
Ooh.
which is interesting. And then for all of you who've been voting in A Hero Rises, we have our final four. First place is Vanguard Ike. Second place is Hector, regular Hector. Third place is Normal Girl Tharja. And fourth
Shoutouts,
place,
Will. Shoutouts,
yeah,
Will.
it's Will. He's spamming. He's finding a way to hack millions of accounts.
Yeah.
And fourth place is Azura, Lady of the Ballads, which is her, as Ty likes to call her, Nor version. So, the final four voting has now begun at the time you're listening to this. So, go and vote for Ike. I mean, go and
Yeah.
vote for your
No,
favorite
go and
character.
vote for Ike. You know, it's weird, because you're right, the Tharja got third, but on every poll I'm seeing online, it's Tharja and Ike neck and neck. Like, there's a huge group of people who don't want Ike because they think Ike will be available again, which maybe he will be,
Oh, he
but
will be. It's just when.
no, go vote for Ike. because he's
no,
Ike.
I want Ike. Dang straight. So again, going for that. All right, we're gonna move in Fire Emblem
Although,
now, children. Go on.
I didn't actually participate in the Hero Rises because like yeah, I didn't. I was like, I'm just gonna leave it to fate. Let the other fans decide, and that's that. Because there weren't really any characters that I really wanted that I knew would get a lot of votes. You know what I mean? Like
so
I knew it was gonna
to...
be Ike. Ike was gonna win. Like that was honestly my first thought was it's just gonna be Vanguard Ike, so whatever. I kind of want Tarja. I might vote
Tarja's
for her.
Actually good. She's actually good. Like I
but
would
she's
be
not
upset
Ike.
If I got her, but she's not Ike exactly.
Not Ike.
I have to vote for Ike.
Yeah, and
I know I know you guys love Ike. I love Ike.
Apparently not.
I'm getting bored of Ike. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, I'm getting bored of Tarja because she wins like everything, and I'm sick of it. Sorry, Will. Not sorry at all. And Cho, I'm a little disappointed in you that you're going to let the Fates decide who gets their awakening from the Sacred Stones.
Oh my god. Cho says she's going to leave with the Fates, so she's voting for Performing Arts Azura.
No, I already have her.
Really? Oh, that's
so
right,
good
you do have her. So.
I do.
Ironically, the only one I have of the four is Hector, which took me forever. So, yeah.
I kind
of
want Hector just for... Just yeah. Encounter fodder.
All right. Well, okay, we're going to move away from Fire Emblem now, children. Okay, we're going to move away from Fire. Yes! We're moving away from Fire Emblem.
No!
Yes. All right,
but
so.
But I love Michaela's.
And I love Ike. I don't care. We can't talk about them all podcast. This is the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, not the Fire Emblem Entertainment Podcast. FEP. No.
FEP.
FEP.
You could
we might have to make a spinoff. We might have
FEP.
To make a
we
spinoff.
We do. We absolutely
a
do.
A half-hour long spinoff where we just talk about
Fire Emblem.
News.
Yeah.
I think that's necessary, actually.
I agree.
I see mass ratings in our future. Moving on. All right. One of my favorite Nintendo developers is Monolith Soft, who is, of course, behind the Xenoblade Chronicles series. And in an interview, if you don't know already, they actually are two studios. They have a studio in Tokyo, which makes the main games, like Xenoblade, and then they actually have one in Kyoto who actually apparently helps Nintendo with a lot of their games. I had no idea about this, which isn't surprising technically because Nintendo Japan is located in Kyoto. So apparently though, the head of the company, Yasuyuki Hone, wants the Kyoto studio to get more people so that they can make their own games. And because Nintendo owns them, that would mean that two different Monolith studios are making games for the Nintendo Switch, which I want.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, they always have the high quality games, and at some point, and by at some point, I mean probably this week, I'm going to get back into Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah, because that the new update came in with like the Game Plus mode and transferring blades, and I'm pumped. So I'm totally going to do my second run through and see if I can finally get Cosmos. Oh, I want Cosmos.
Yeah, so. I only cleared chapter one, and I haven't returned
Amateur.
To Xenoblade. Hey! I've been busy, and I have a huge backlog of games. Anyways, I love Xenoblade Chronicles. I never played any of the other Xenoblade games. This is my first Xenoblade,
one.
And I love it. It's so much fun. I love all of the characters so
yeah.
far.
I
love Nia. Oh my god,
she
I love
does.
Nia.
I was talking with Cho the other day, and I'm like, you actually remind me a bit of Pyra and Mithra, and she was touched. She's like,
I was.
She was like, I love that you compare. Think I'm like both of them, and then I described why, and she melted to pieces quicker than when she gets glared at by Michaelis. So. So,
not quite as quick, Todd.
No,
not quite as quick.
I'm not
Don't
that
flatter
effective.
Yourself. Don't
I'm not
flatter
that
yourself.
Effective. But Callus is super effective. I'm not that effective.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I can't wait to jump into this new update. And I really and Monolith Soft is apparently already making their next game, which apparently is going to be like a medieval style RPG and likely won't
Ooh.
Be Xenoblade at all. So it's possible that, you know, if the second studio gets it, maybe they'll make the next Xenoblade. I don't know, but. I was just so happy a few weeks back when we finally found out that Xenoblade Chronicles 2 made 100 million sales. No, made a million in sales because it deserved it. It deserved
its
that million.
Its attach rate is what, 500% of the Switches that are out there?
Yeah, something like that. Hey, well, do you recall that there was a time when Breath of the Wild had more units sold than the Switch?
That's true.
It's true. That was awesome. They'd be like, I don't care about the Switch. I just want Breath of the Wild. But hey, if you're listening, Monolith Soft, and obviously you're listening because we're NEP, obviously, keep up the good work. We hope you get that expansion that you want, and we look forward to your next game. So, yeah. Moving on to another key developer for Nintendo for last year was Ubisoft, who released several big games for the Switch, although the biggest one obviously was Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Ubisoft revealed that they are actually the top third-party publisher on the Switch.
Nice.
Which go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, they've absolutely been just churning out quality games for Switch.
Now you might be thinking, well, what does that exactly mean? Well, for all the third-party companies who published a game on the Switch, includes companies like Capcom and Square Enix, who had some big titles, EA. Actually, let's not count EA. they sold the most between all of their games, and Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle continues to be the top-selling third-party game on the Switch, which, if I recall, has sold over a million units, which is very impressive for, a Mario and Rabbids title. And then the Just Dance, apparently, did really well on the Switch, which I'm honestly not surprised, because Just Dance is a very popular franchise. And they're saying that, they're more than open to bringing more games to the Switch. So, and in fact, I can never say his name. Yves Guillemot, who is the CEO of the company, said, "In the future, we are going to do more things. We just can't go over that right now." Why not? Come on, give us something. So, but props to Nintendo. We were all surprised by the greatness that was Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and now we're like looking forward to the Donkey Kong DLC. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, I got Rayman Legends on mine too.
That's right. I forgot that came out.
Yeah, it's Ubisoft's got some really solid games that are out there, and I definitely have grown to appreciate them more as a Nintendo fan, seeing their support for the console, because I remember being really frustrated when Rayman Legends got delayed back on Wii U.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be an exclusive. So.
Yeah, but seeing them kind of rally around the Switch now is definitely good, and I keep that in mind when I go to buy games.
And I'm happy for Ubisoft as a company, because not only are they, doing great on the Switch, their other games have been doing amazingly. Assassin's Creed Origins was, a real revitalization for the series. For Honor recently revealed that it had 7.5 million players total, which is amazing for a new IP. All these other titles that they're doing. And all I can think about is, hey, you've proven that your game's selling on Switch, so bring everything to Switch, because I'm
bring
really like that.
Bring South Park to Switch.
South Park has been rumored for Switch for so long. Like, there was like an Amazon Mexico listing, and then it got taken down. It was like, I mean, I wouldn't buy it personally, but I know a lot of people that would.
Yeah, I am one of them. I really, really love South Park, and I didn't get Fractured Butthole yet, because it's only on PS4, and well, it's on consoles that I don't have, so it's on every console but the Switch.
Yeah, Ubisoft, bring us out by the Switch. It'd be so cool.
But Todd, you say you're not gonna get South Park on Switch.
Yeah. Stop, Kenny! Oh my gosh, you killed Kenny! You backwards. That's the most South Park I will ever do on this podcast. You're welcome. Okay, no joke. I was actually, I don't think I've told this story, at least not on the podcast. I worked for a company called Volition, who is the team behind Saints Row and Agents of Mayhem. And back when THQ was the publisher behind Stick of Truth, they showed us the gameplay unveiling of this game like 6 months before it was ever unveiled to the world. And so I knew about Stick of Truth before like anyone else. And
oh, cool.
It was just hilarious. And I hate South Park. I hate South Park, but I couldn't help but I'm serious. I couldn't help but laugh at the what I saw, like Cartman talking to the new kid.
So how much do you hate South Park?
If you I hate so left. Much. I think it's stupid.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
What about you, Tyler? You like South Park?
Well, he wants
the
game. He doesn't
like
want
Sonic. I love
gosh.
South Park.
Oh gosh, don't get me started, Tyler. all right, we're going to move on. This is just getting weird. All right, on to another third-party one, and this was almost internet-breaking. So, at E3 2017, we all watched in glory and amazement when Metroid Prime 4 was announced. And I truly screamed like a girl. Tyler can attest to that.
I think I actually cried.
I wouldn't be surprised. If I wasn't screaming, I would have been crying.
Yeah, me and Todd, we screamed together.
Oh yeah, it was just like, because again, the way they did the four, I didn't see the Samus logo, you know, the spin it, the Screw Attack logo. And so all I saw was the four. I'm like, well, they're not gonna do a Fantastic Four game on Switch. That'd be kind of
weird. We both said, is this
Fantastic Four? But yeah, then like, you know, Metroid Prime 4 showed up and we all screamed. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. But anyway, so the biggest question was, who's making this thing? Because we were confirmed like shortly after, it's not Retro. And so now Eurogamer and a bunch of other people are reporting that Bandai Namco is the team that's going to be making Metroid Prime 4. And I am very curious to see what you both think of this.
You want to go ahead and take it first, Joe?
I'm excited for it. I think it could be good. I'm honestly neutral. I'm neutral on Bandai Namco taking over it. I think they could do a good job, and I also think they could do a bad job.
Yeah.
I'm just completely neutral.
The Bandai Namco, I really love. Like, I like their games. I consistently like. But I definitely am. It feels odd that it's not like it's not a Nintendo studio. Like it does feel strange. Now, they did a great job with Smash Bros. I don't know how big of a role that they played in developing Smash 4, but they did well with the Nintendo IP in the past. So I have faith.
And don't forget
in
Pokemon
that
Tournament.
Regard. And Pokemon Tournament is really fun as well. So I have faith, but I mean, those are fighting games. They're not Metroid.
True.
No, I mean, they have all sorts of different styled games, and I consistently like Bandai Namco titles. So I'm actually, as somebody who doesn't totally love Metroid, I'm actually more excited about this now. Like, I love Retro's games as well, but I want to see what, I mean, maybe they'll have a cool little spin on it that gives it a different flavor that makes it appeal more to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And for me, I'm fine with this, because If it was just, okay, when it was Team Ninja, okay, we were all excited because this is the Dead or Alive team. This is Ninja Gaiden team. So heck yeah, they're going to rock it with Samus. You know, there was no doubt. Yeah, it didn't really work out, you know, and you know, that's putting it mildly. I will always remember when, because back in the day, man, that makes you sound old. Back in the day when I had dial-up internet. No, it wasn't that long ago. But my first game source was G4 and XPlay.
Yeah.
And so I waited. I was like checking like the website all day when Other M came out. And then when I saw they gave it a 2 out of 5, I was crushed because they had no Nintendo bias. You know, they were very fair in what they did with Nintendo, and I was just like, if they didn't like it, how would I still got it. I went like 3 levels in, and then I stopped because I just couldn't. I think it was the gameplay actually that stopped me, and not the story, which is weird because it's usually the way around. But my point here is that we were all excited for Team Ninja to do this. We're not going to be as excited for Bandai Namco, even though, yes, they have proven themselves in the past with Nintendo titles. But that actually works to our advantage because we're not going to be so hyped up that we're going to have this outrageous expectations. Yes, we expect it to be as good as the other Metroid Prime games, and that's fair. But we're going to have a little bit more level head as, you know, it gets closer when we see the trailer and everything. Now, whether they can actually do this or not, of course they can. You know, they are the publisher behind some of the best games, you know, recent memory at least. You know, what's that one? Oh, yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Holla. So, which we're still waiting for the Switch port, Bandai Namco.
And Soul Calibur 4 coming out this year.
Try again.
Or 6, Soul Calibur 6 coming out this year. Yeah, Roman numerals are hard.
This is why I'm the host.
I flipped the Roman numerals in my head.
This is why I'm the host. Okay, yes, Soul Calibur 6. Which, to be fair, you know, that they at least had an excuse of why it wasn't, you know, coming out.
Well,
but
they
had
that same excuse for FighterZ. They did have that same excuse for FighterZ.
But anyway, but they know how to make good games, and this could you know, be good. But the most important thing we got to remember is this is still a rumor. This was Eurogamer saying they had sources saying that Bandai Namco is the publisher of this. So until we hear from Nintendo, grain of salt. Grain of salt. And then when they announce it is Bandai Namco, then we can rage against the machine. Moving on. But I think the most important thing here is I feel that they do need to confirm this in the next Nintendo Direct, which we still don't know if it's coming. Kind of bitter.
Right. Well, we know there's going to be another Nintendo Direct. It's just when.
Well, that's like saying we know there's going to be another E3 next year, but when?
Right. Like, E3, it's going to happen. It's going to be there.
It's going to be here. No, but they need to confirm this just so we can move on and then start wondering, like, okay, well, if it's not Bandai Namco, then who? Because, I mean, this isn't just some random company. They say, oh, it's clearly Bandai Namco. They had to have someone tell them this. So,
yeah.
Okay. It's ironically, it's the same thing with Mario and Rabbids. We were like, there's no way this could work. Why would this happen? And then it got announced. So we need to have confirmation for this. But all right. Before we get on to some pure Nintendo news, we're going to talk about one last third party, and that is Platinum Games. So Hideki Kamiya, who's the head of the company, recently did a nice long Twitter. Quiet, Tyler. This is actually an informative. You'll see why I'm telling him that in a second. He did a nice long Twitter string detailing how Bayonetta 3 and Bayonetta 2 came to be. And it's actually a fascinating insight into game development. For example, like, you might be thinking, well, how did, you know, Bayonetta just come to be in the first place? Well, because of how Platinum Games is, they signed contracts to make games. And Bayonetta 2 was actually supposed to be multi-platform, but, you know, contracts and deals fell through, which made Sega, who was technically the publisher, halt the game's production. And that is when Nintendo came in and funded the whole game, okay? And that's why Hideki is very indebted to Nintendo, because they allowed him to continue the game. And so right now, the rights for Bayonetta is split between Sega and Nintendo, which is how Bayonetta 1 came to the Wii U, and now 1 and 2 are coming to the Switch, and how Bayonetta 1 and potentially 2 went to the PC, because the rights are split. And then eventually that led to the creation of Bayonetta 3. And it's just a fascinating look at how video games actually get made, because it's very much not what people think it is, about, oh, hey, let's make a game together. Okay, what should we make? It's not that simple, unless you're an indie game company. And even then, it's not that simple. So, again, look it up. It's actually quite fascinating. But Tyler is bitter because he doesn't like Mr. Kamiya very much.
No. I don't. So I guess, this is going to be a good debate. If Will was here,
oh, Will.
There would be, you know, Will would have something to say. He loves Kamiya. So this is a Bayonetta 1 and 2 were coming out. Are they out now? Is that out?
Yes,
today?
They are. They came out this week.
Yeah, so they're out. And IGN Japan was showing off Bayonetta 2 gameplay, right? Now, if anybody's played Bayonetta, you know that game is hard. Like, you have to have good reaction time, you got to be fast, but if you're good at it, it looks beautiful, like a symphony of death. And Bayonetta, but when you're not good at it, if you're new to the game, you know, you're going to struggle and be clunky. So the IGN Japan people posted a video of them playing it looked like the prologue of the game. And you know, they weren't great at it. Now, just for full context, when I say they're not great at it, I'm not saying that they were bad. Like, they weren't bad. They beat the level easily, no problem. But it wasn't flashy. It wasn't peak Bayonetta. It wasn't go look up a great Bayonetta player on Twitch and watch them play beautiful. Like, they were kind of walking around and shot a lot and got hit a few times. And it wasn't beautiful. So Mr. Kamiya tweets at them, retweets their video and goes, "These guys suck at this game." Like, literally direct quote, "You guys, are they serious? They suck." IGN Japan tweets back like in jest, like extending an olive branch. "Oh, here's another video of us now that we've played more. We're better at the game, you know, naturally, when you play more, you get better." And it was actually pretty good. And he wrote back, "Well, maybe you should wait until you're good to upload." And, like, it just super rude, like, throwing it in their face. And that rubbed me the wrong way, because this original gameplay was not like the Cuphead video where the guy couldn't hit jump and dash within the span of 2 seconds. Like, yeah, that was insanely painful. And honestly, he can write like thought pieces on the industry, but should not be allowed to do gameplay after that. That's just completely disgraceful. This was not nearly that bad. And for him to attack them like that, I felt was so wrong. I mean, that representation of them playing that game, that did look probably a little bit worse than what I would look like having not played Bayonetta for a while, playing it right now. Like, it's a hard game. It's something that you have to work at to get really good at. And that experience that they showed, that's the experience for new players. Like, that's what you're going to be looking like when you first play the game. That's what Bayonetta 2 is. That's part of what Bayonetta 2 is. And for him to attack people like that, just so, just cruelly, like, honestly, just, it, like, coldly, just completely, it rubbed me the wrong way, and I want to get Bayonetta 3 because it's a fun series, but honestly, I don't want to support this guy.
Yeah, and now, for the other take, go with it, Cho.
Yeah, I disagree, like, 100%.
Go, Cho!
I love Kamiya. I think he's great, and part of the reason I love him is because of his attitude. Like, if you follow him on Twitter, you know he's not necessarily nice to people. Like, he doesn't put up with crap. He has his strict Twitter rules. He'll block people left and right. That's something I like about him, honestly. I like that he's just himself. Like, I actually appreciate that in him. And I think he was onto something with his calling out a professional gaming website for being crappy at games. Like, and he did put a distinction between, he was not talking about people who are playing the game for the first time. He's talking about this IGN people as professionals. And I do agree that, like, if I were a professional gameplay reviewer and I was taking videos of myself playing games, hell yeah, I would actually take the time to practice and make sure that I didn't look like a fumbling idiot when I upload. Because, you know, people want to look at my gameplay and be like, ah, yes, they've played this game a lot, they know what they're doing, and their take on it is therefore credible. And yeah, for something promotional, it did not show the beauty of Bayonetta in a great light. Because I did see the video, and yeah, it was pretty sucky. And no, I wasn't great when I first started playing, but I'm not a professional gamer. I'm not taking footage of myself to talk about and promote this game. I'm just a consumer who's enjoying it from the privacy of my home. And I do think that more game reviewers should put the time and practice into it. And he said that too on his Twitter when somebody was defending the game players and saying, well, look, they don't have as much time to, you know, get good at games. They just jump in from game to game. And he was like, well, I don't use that as an excuse for making games. And I do agree with that. It's your job and you should take it seriously.
So I agree with you to a point. Like, I agree that as a game journalist, you have to be somewhat good at games. Again, that Cuphead video is example to me of just disgraceful game. Like, yeah, that was embarrassing. Like, that should not, that's a whole nother category. This wasn't that bad. Like you said, it was really sucky. I wouldn't say it was really sucky. Like, they didn't lose. They didn't come close to losing. Like, it wasn't beautiful. But their job is not to be professional game players. They're professional game journalists. They write about games. And their job isn't to say, look at how great this game is. Their job is to say, look, this is what this game is. Look, this is what this game is. And that is part of what Bayonetta 2 is. And I agree that it would be awesome if they could be super great at the game and then say, you know, in their review, you know, this game is going to be tough for beginners and show like a little clip of what it looked like when they first started. That would be ideal. However, this is not like the Outer Haven or like a smaller website that can really latch on to one thing and grind at it and get really good at it and provide this fantastic coverage about a concise thing. This is IGN Japan. Like, they're getting a ton of different games that they have to jump to, and their team isn't massive. It's like, there's so many different realities that go into play.
I get that, but it's still a job that you should take seriously. Like, I kind of agree with you, but, well, no, actually, I don't. I think that, well, I don't know, how can I trust opinions and reviews from people who are spending, or who aren't spending a lot enough time with a game, who are just like, well, I'm booting up this game and we're just gonna do first take. Whatever we get from the prologue is just gonna, you know, be slapped up there with my opinion on it. Like, I wouldn't trust a movie reviewer who's watching the first 20 minutes of a movie and writing all of their thoughts and whatever on this movie. You know what I mean? Like,
I
still
you.
Want somebody who knows what they talk, what they're talking about, and have actually, like, they're getting paid to do this too. Like, what's
but
the point
I wouldn't...
of this whole job if you're not going to be spending enough time on a game to even fully understand the mechanics of the gameplay? Like, how can I even trust your opinion?
That's a great point, but I wouldn't say that. I think that there's like the way we both interpreted that gameplay was different, because I don't think that they were incompetent. Like, I think that they knew what they were doing and they just weren't great at it. And I think that there is a distinction between understanding what a game is. Like, the game get, I didn't actually see what IGN Japan gave it, but Bayonetta 1 and 2
I didn't either, actually.
Both got outstanding reviews across the board. It's not like they wrote a hit piece saying this game stinks. They didn't say anything negative about the game. And I do agree with you. Like, you want somebody who's giving you their opinion to be expert on it. But I don't think that you have to be great at a game to be able to be an expert on it. Like there's plenty of games that I play that I'm not fantastic at, but I understand how they work. And
yeah,
I can
but
tell
have you played the whole game?
Well, I guess...
Did you finish the game? Did you play more than just a little bit of the game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. But I think that they probably
so I can
played...
trust your opinion on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that they probably have done that too. Like, I'm sure that they've played through the game to the end, and even if they haven't, I don't think you actually have to beat every single game. But if you've played a game for 5 or 6 hours and you know what it's about, I understand.
See,
it's
I
not
disagree
perfect.
Because I wouldn't want to listen to movie reviewers who don't watch the whole movie.
Okay, but hold on. That's okay. Come on, that's not fair, Joe. A movie at max is 3 hours. And that's Lord of the Rings. I mean, yes, there's Titanic, which is 8 hours long per film, but Titanic was long. But I mean, like, that's a commitment of one sit down. Whereas, like, Xenoblade,
right.
I would want them to play at least, let's see, there's 10 chapters. Like chapter 5. Before getting even thinking about a review, okay, like that's different, because, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours, and we all know chapter 5 is like, you know, 20 hours in if you're being generous and blasting through everything. So 20 hours versus 3 hours for a movie sit down is a lot different. It's a bit, it's a different commitment.
Yeah, I definitely
yeah,
agree.
Yeah, I kind of get it, but
yeah.
But I think now, Joe's point does have a lot of merit. Like, yeah. I think that, like, I didn't really think about the can you really trust what their review of the game says? But I don't think that that clip wasn't a review. That was just a gameplay clip. And it was just one gameplay clip in a series of, they have a ton of different gameplay out there. Like the video that they showed again afterwards of them playing the game better. I have a problem with the rudeness. You know, I think there's a difference between being yourself and just being disrespectful. Like, I felt like that was so disrespectful.
I see a big Nintendo discussion in our future about reviews. I think no, I'm serious. I think this would be actually a very fun topic. So let's put a pin in that for now, because we have to move on, kids.
Okay, I want to say one more thing.
Oh boy.
When you put some, like, I think that his criticism was fair, honestly. Like, I feel like you put things up, people are allowed to tear you a new one. And
oh yeah, it's true.
I feel like we're kind of in a culture where we want to pick and choose what can and can't be criticized, or how far we can take criticism.
So,
and to me, like, I don't... Did he say quote-unquote mean things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, these guys suck.
But so what? It's kind of a fair criticism. Like, I don't know. I feel like he was unhappy with what they presented, and I get that he was unhappy with what they presented, and I think he was expressing that he was unhappy with what they presented and how they presented the game, and I do agree with it. Like, maybe it's just the perfectionist in me, but if I were getting paid to do that, I would, you know, spend time practicing, and I would spend time making sure I got good footage and wanting to showcase a game as best as I can and not just me fumbling around or whatever. Like, I would really work hard to make sure that what I'm presenting is perfect. And I am kind of a perfectionist, so maybe that's just me, but I do understand where his criticism is coming from. And to me, no, he didn't really say anything overtly mean. Okay, look at it this way. I have seen Fire Emblem fans say way meaner things about Intelligent Systems and the game they put forth than what Mr. Kamiya said about the game reviewers.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true.
We all support that. We all support... Like, look at the art for Elwood in Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yo, that's everybody not on as the bad
internet
as people
tore
say.
That. Everybody on the internet tore that artist a new one because his eyes look too big, and we all just laughed at it and supported it. But Mr. Kamiya saying these game reviewers suck at this game—that's a big deal. I don't know, man. I don't like the pick and choosiness of how far we can go with being "quote unquote" mean to people.
Well, if you want to talk about being mean to people, wait until our next segment where you guys are going to go against me. And so let's just get right to that, ladies and gentlemen. So tomorrow, the 7th Splatoon Splatfest is here, and quite appropriately, it is kind of themed around Valentine's Day. Now, sadly, clearly they didn't hear me in my last podcast where I offered the debate of chocolates versus flowers for best Valentine's Day gift. Cho, what do you think? Flowers or chocolates? Go on, gut instinct.
Not enough, honestly.
What? it's not enough. You can't push. It's one or the other. Flowers or chocolates?
I reject those.
Oh, gosh. I reject
flowers,
reality and substitute my own.
Something else.
Okay, I'm ignoring you. This is a first. I'm actually going to ignore you. Wow. Yeah. So
rude.
Anyway, so and
now who's being rude?
You pushed. I gave you a choice, and you said push.
Yeah, why
no.
am I the nice guy on the podcast today? I'm usually the jerk.
I'm the jerk. I'm the host.
Hey, did you just call me a jerk, Tyler?
Oh, snap.
No, I was calling both of you guys jerks, but you're not jerks. You're not jerks. Now I am being the jerk.
There we go. What? Now we're all jerks.
Wait, you think I am a jerk or something? All right. Anyway, so instead of choosing chocolates versus flowers, which is clearly a great idea, they decided to go with love or money. Because that's not controversial at all. I can guarantee you we have different opinions on this. So it's time to sell it and splat. And since I am at a disadvantage here, because I am choosing love, which is hilarious for anyone who knows me, and Cho and Tyler are picking money.
Hey, money!
Now, I will say I do have a slight advantage because I have the spirit of will fueling me from the land known as Malaysia, which is apparently not a disease. I apologize. So I have will on my side, which will no doubt impart upon me the strength and the will to win this debate. So because of that, I'm going first. So here's what it really breaks down to. Love versus money. Only one of these things is defined as the root of all evil. So what does that say about Cho and Tyler?
Oh, shit. He's coming out with the big guns.
I'm going biblical. Money is the root of all evil. It is the symbol of greed. It is the symbol of deception. It is one of the symbols of deception. Not all of it, but, you know, it. What do we hate about politics? We hate the greed. And what does the greed really center around? The money. Okay, whether you're talking about budget cuts, earmarks, which if you don't know what that is, honestly look it up. It's a very important thing. You know, it all centers around money.
I would say it all centers around pride, but go on.
But pride over wanting the most money.
I disagree. I think it has to do with power.
Excellent point,
Joe. Okay, anyways,
power can be obtained through money and wealth, right? You know, having the biggest bank account, being able to buy the most things, wanting to build the wall. Okay, listen to me. I know money. All right, look, I'm a very smart businessman. Geez. I know. but it all focuses around money. Now, I know that my opponents will be like, well, Todd, money is necessary to survive. And I won't deny that you need money to buy food. You need money to pay for the roof over your head, which I really hope you have if you're listening to this podcast. But the problem is we almost always want more. And that's where the problems went in. Whereas once you have love, and I mean true love, you don't want more love. Okay, that's a lie. Okay, we all know some people who want a little too much love. Anybody who knows the Bible knows a guy named Solomon. Okay, we're gonna put him to the side just for a year. But true love is eternal, and true love is more valuable than anything you can buy. I mean, the Beatles said you can't buy me love. Are you really gonna go against the Beatles?
Hey, they had love and money. But hey, didn't love tear them apart?
That's right.
Yes!
That's also right.
That's true, but it wasn't over money. It was over the fact that John Lennon loved Yoko Ono for some reason. But it was...
Well, love still tore them apart.
Love ruined the Beatles. Great point, Joe.
But that's the thing. There have been many other bands who have broken up because of money. There have been TV shows that have almost stalled because the actors and actresses demanded more money instead of just wanting to make a quality TV show. Okay, a great example is The Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory in, like, its, let's see, like, the first two seasons were making about, $30,000 an episode, give or take. Okay, which, for the record,
that's a lot of money.
Okay, so think about it. 30,000 times, let's just say 20 episodes, that's $600,000 a season, right? But then, like, I think it was, like, season 4 or 5, they demand that they be paid more. And I don't mean, like, you know, 50,000 episodes, 60,000 episodes. They got paid upwards of $200,000 an episode. Do you know how much money 200,000 times, you know, 20, you know, and all of that? I'm not going to do the math. I don't really care. But, like, all that money, do you know how much that could actually help people? But, no, they wanted it. They wanted more money. They wanted the greed. It was the greed that wanted that. Whereas John Lennon just loved Yoko Ono, and he refused to let his love be tarnished by the Beatles, you know, for better or for worse. And let it be known, John Lennon had number one songs after he broke up with the Beatles, as did Paul McCartney, as did Ringo Starr. So who's the real loser here? Let's just be clear here.
Wait, George didn't have a number one? I'm pretty sure George had
He did not.
One.
He did not. Poor George. Anyway.
George is the best.
I liked Ringo. And as we all know, Imagine was about communism. So, you know, I guess we all lost there. but the point is that once you have love, it's eternal. Now, yes, there is divorce, but that just means you didn't have the truest love of all. Love is worth fighting for, and you fight to keep your love. And one of the most beautiful things that ever happened between me and my parents was that my family has this, like, quote-unquote curse on us. It's a long story. But my mom thought she was so clever. And she goes, Todd, we don't have a curse. Do you know why? And I go, why? And she goes, well, in our family, not one of us, not on your father's side or on mine, have we ever had a divorce. Which is true. So far. I haven't been married yet. no, I thought I was going to do, like, a joke there, but I'm not going to now. But, you know, but I told mom, like, that's not a curse because our luck was about 1 in 1 million, where divorce is actually 1 in 2. But that's the thing. It's like, when you have it, as my family proves, and I know a lot of great couples, you know, once you have it, love is more important than anything. Now, yes, money can make you happy. There's no doubt of that. I mean, we buy video games. Okay, that's why we do this podcast. Okay, love makes happy. Joe was happy when she bought Dynasty Warriors and met Liu Bei. All right, and then Tyler was kind of happy, kind of sad when he wasted like $1 million on Fire Emblem Heroes, you know.
Yep. But when Alm got that Falchion refined, it was all worth it.
It was all worth it.
See?
So, but in conclusion, okay, love matters. Money is important, but love matters. And that's all you need. Which is another Beatles song, Love Is All You Need.
You know,
see,
I broke out the Bible and
the Beatles on you.
All you need is love, by the way. It's not Love Is All You Need. The song is All You Need Is Love, and it's the worst Beatles song. Number one worst.
Oh, shut up, Tyler.
It's the most overrated song in the history of music.
You're an idiot. You're
no,
insulting
I am
the
not.
Beatles.
No, I love the Beatles. And the biggest Beatles fan on this podcast, and I hate that song. That song is trash. Now, if you're done living in your little fantasy world where
you know what,
I was happy ending.
I was just about to say, like, I used to think that I had a naive, overly optimistic view of the world, but now I don't feel so bad.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, let's get to reality. Let's look at the real world. Now, you talked about divorce. I don't want to get into all that. Uh-huh. You know, that's obviously, you know, a thing. Not a happy thing. But let's talk statistics. And I foreshadowed this point earlier in the podcast. How many people are in this world? Todd or Cho, this question is to both of you. Just a rough estimate. We don't know for sure, obviously. What guess how many people are in this world?
There are currently 8.7 billion people in this world.
I think it's up to 11 billion, but that's
I
okay.
I think it might be two.
There's a
two
lot
people.
Of...
Adam and Eve.
There's
no, me and... I don't know.
See, she can't even think of the other person. That means there's only one person in your world.
Well, yeah, it's just me, man.
Now we're getting real philosophical because, you know, I think, therefore I am, but that, how do I know about anything else? Anyway... let's just go with there's a lot of people in the world. And, you know, if you define love, you know, love comes in different, you have different definitions of it. But
that's true. There are three definitions of love.
Right. You know, love is not concrete, first of all. It's kind of an abstract concept. It's a concept. That's something I'm going to be touching on a little bit further.
Oh,
but if you go out into the world, right, and you find someone, you're like, whoa. This person is my soulmate. We were meant to be together. I would just like to ask you, what are the odds that of all the billions of people in the world that you found that one person and she just happened to be at the job that you worked at? Or
pretty
she
good.
Just happened to go to your school? No, the odds of that are less than – they're not good odds. Let's just leave it at that. They are very bad odds that you would meet the one person that you were meant to be in love with. So – point number one, true love, my soulmate, that is nonsense. That is statistical nonsense.
All right. I'm going to step in here, Tyler.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
It's all you.
I don't agree with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know where she's going. You are
okay,
not going to like this.
I like the idea of soulmates, okay?
But it's an idea. It is not concrete. Remember, concept.
Not
remember,
what in this
concept,
world is concrete?
Money.
No,
money,
no, money,
is
money
concrete.
Isn't concrete. And you want to know how you can prove that? Because the cost of money goes up and down.
I know.
Okay, I need to put in a quote, and this is a quote that means a lot to me.
Okay.
Like, this is like my mantra.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Parks and Recreation.
Oh boy. Oh no.
Love fades, but things are forever.
Yep.
What? Yep.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No!
But I, you know, I want to
get an amen.
How does this work? Totally amen. But how does that work with the soulmates concept?
Oh, whoops.
Because
sorry, I got off track. Yeah. Todd got me off track.
What do you mean? I got you off track.
Like,
you interrupted him.
Okay, look. I like the idea of soulmates, so don't say that, Tyler.
But
I'm also biased because I don't believe in the concept of a soulmate for me. You know what I mean? I like the concept of soulmates when I'm looking at other people and when I'm picturing my beautiful fantasy world, but yeah, in my reality, nah.
That's right. Well, that's just the statistical...
But still, I don't like
screw
you
statistics.
Saying it. I still don't like you saying it.
Screw statistics.
Just,
if you're gonna use that logic, then you're just totally debunked what the lottery is. Because what are the odds that you would get the right ticket with the right numbers? And you know how many people win the freaking lottery?
Better than
not everybody wins.
That's true. And not everyone wins at love. But that doesn't mean that there's not such thing as soulmates, as I proved with my whole my family doesn't get divorced. They clearly all found their soulmates because they're all in love with each other still.
The odds are better than winning.
I would. I'm not going to get into talking about your family. But...
Thank you. My family's nuts, but they love each other, and they love that they're nuts.
Well, there are a few. You know what? No, I'm not going to open any cans of worms here. We are trying to keep it civil.
Oh please, Tyler! Tyler threw out civil when he tried to say there's no such thing as soulmate.
There's not. There's not.
There
it's
is.
Just, it's a fact. It's a fact, Todd.
It's
it
a
is
lie.
A fact. And you know what else is a fact? That without money, you couldn't even meet that soulmate.
Actually,
that doesn't
that's
exist.
A lie.
Hold up, hold up. I think that soulmates can exist. I think that there is such a thing as soulmates, but I don't think it necessarily has to be like romantic love. Like, I think you can have soulmates in your friends or even in, like, a sibling or a family member. Like, you know, that person that you just, like, connect with on that soul level.
That's actually rather beautiful,
but I don't, like, me and my mom are, like, super close. Like, we're so freaking close. And I would say, like, we understand each other on, like, that super deep kind of soul level. Like, we're, like, super kindred spirits, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that that can exist, but... Yeah, I think soulmates, maybe you could even have more than one soulmate.
Right, see,
you know
that's what
I mean?
I'm trying to say. That's
like, yeah,
what I'm
I don't think
say.
That romantic love, like, I don't think that you have one single soulmate out there that, like, is, of course, you know, your picture of perfection. It's, like, the person that you're totally meant to be with or whatever. Like,
that is what I was trying
to
say.
Yeah,
so, like,
I
you can
define
that, soulmate in a different way, but
yeah,
that
exactly.
is how I meant it. Like, that one person that is destined to be with you till the end
romantically.
Of time.
Romantically.
Right, right. Yeah. That is, I that's just nonsense.
Especially because, you know what, romance and, like, you know, getting married and everything, that's not for everybody.
Right, right, right.
Which is, which is fair. I will never say that all relationships have to be, you know, in marriage. I would prefer it. But, you know, that's just me. Good Christian boy.
Of course.
It's like, what do you mean you don't want to get married? How dare you?
But money. We're going to talk about money for a minute.
You can try.
Money...
You're failing.
But let's go back to my
no,
other
we're not. We just debunked
my...
your romantic
we pretty
soulmate
much crushed
fantasy.
Your whole argument.
No, you
exactly.
didn't. You didn't crush anything.
Yeah, yeah, we crushed the whole argument. But
we did.
But,
high five, totally. Tyler.
Anyway,
high five, spirit
back.
Of will.
So let's say, you know, let's just say that in this world, soulmates exist. How are you going to meet that person without money? How are you going to meet that person? You can't go to buy school. You can't go to school. You can't live without money. You can't get a car without money to go hang out with that person.
You can't help the poor without money.
You can't help the poor without money. Everything that you think of when you think of love outside of that spiritual connection, which can't be created without being able to see somebody, and is also not true in my humble estimation.
Oh no, stop.
Is you money is what you need to even obtain any sort of love, to even find that person that you're supposed to be in love with, to do things that you're going to be where to do things with your quote unquote soulmate. You need money. Money is the number one. Unfortunately, it stinks. It's not how the world ought to be, but it is how it is. And in order to succeed and to, you know, find happiness and to find somebody that you want to spend your life with, you need money. Money is a reality.
Yeah, and honestly, like, money is important in a relationship as well. Like,
we're not saying that's I'd never denied that. Money, I said money was necessary, but it's not eternal. You want to say money, you want to say love fades, money runs out.
Yeah, it does, which is why you gotta hustle, man. Hustle.
Oh, gosh.
That's right.
Work, to quote Britney Spears. Actually, wait, I can't because that song has a swear in it. And I
yeah,
do
don't push it, Joe.
But you know the quote I'm thinking of.
No,
you just
I don't really
work
care.
For it.
Because it's Britney Spears.
Money, maybe money fades because, you know, you gotta spend money to,
right.
you know, get your stuff.
Right, that's
but
right.
I value stuff.
That's right. Who doesn't?
I love
stuff?
My things.
That's true. I value
things
stuff.
Things are great. Joe,
you know
let
what?
Me ask you this.
People aren't always there for you. However, people aren't always there for you, but Dynasty Warriors 9 is always there for me whenever
yes.
I want.
Yes.
And you know what? When I
That's
don't want
line,
it there
you know
for
it.
Me, when I don't want it there for me, it doesn't have to be. There's
right.
an off button.
That there's an off button. But phenomenal point. And let
Did
me ask you
Did you just
a
say you
question.
Wanted an off button for love?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Let me ask you a little question. This is reality. Cho is living in the real world time.
I'm living in the real world.
Cho, if you, you know, let me just say, if I could give you, you know, money, you know, could you live, if you could have money or love and you could only have one and you can't have the other, you just can't have the other at all.
Okay.
Which one would you be able to survive with?
She saved
okay,
money.
I have
this isn't even an option. She just literally made it so it's impossible
shush,
to choose love.
Shush, shush.
Because it's reality.
It's not reality.
All right, both of you shush. What are the stipulations here? Is it love as in only romantic love? Like with a person, like one person who's my romantic love? Or does this also count like I love my dog and I love my family?
Well, I guess for the sake of fairness, we have to say it counts everything, because I don't think that they honed in on one thing.
I might choose... Okay.
She's hesitating.
I would probably choose money, because then I could take care of the people that I love.
Boom!
I don't... You know...
Great point. Great point.
But still, you're doing it out of love.
But the money is what's more important.
But that's not the focus. Can't... The thing, like, because she could have been greedy and hoarded it all for herself, bought every single Dynasty Warriors 9 figure, which she might do anyway, but that's beside the point. You know, bought every video game, bought everything she needs. But she says, no, I am doing it because I want to take care of those that I love.
Okay,
so
I follow
what's more
you.
Important, the money or
well,
the love?
It
the love, because that's determining what she does with the money.
I would need more rules to this, because I mean, like, if it, like, okay, so, like, what? Does it mean, like, I can't be around the people that I love?
Right,
yeah.
So I explained it poorly. I explained it poorly. You because think? What I'm trying to say is that if you lived without love, you could survive. You would
of course
not
you could.
Die. But if you didn't have money, you would die. You would be dead.
Potentially.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and, like, I mean, like, I don't know.
Let me put it to you this way.
I wouldn't be able to look the people that I love in the eye if I couldn't make money for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hey, I'm the same way. I got made fun of a lot in high school because I refused to have a girlfriend. Not that I didn't have takers, but I refused to have a girlfriend. And they're like, well, why would you not want that? And then I went on to college. Why would you not want that? Because if I was to have a girlfriend who I would hopefully want make my wife, if you know, if the love was real. Okay, relationships have love, and it does fade sometimes. But again, I'm talking about true, true love here, all right? Which is not a lie, all right? Tell it to your parents. I told them I didn't want it because I would want to support them, which I acknowledge I need money for. But I need the money out of love, not out of I need money, you know? Because that's the difference here, is that love is a focus that you can channel through your money. Cho said, I would want the money so I can take care of my family. So the overriding thing
well, I mean,
here is the love,
to take
not
care
the
of
money.
My family, I gotta admit.
Yeah, I won't and you gotta play Dynasty Warriors. Hey, I'm not gonna deprive you of that show because I care for you. But, but the point is here is that money is not everything.
Hold up. I wanna limit our focus here because I feel like the theme of the Splatfest itself. Because it's centered around Valentine's Day, I think what they mean by love is the romantic kind.
Yes,
but that's
not
fair.
I agree with you.
But
that's
not fair
because... we should limit our scope to that because I feel like that is the focus.
Okay, so if when you say romantic love, do you mean like, you know, a couple potential marriage? Is that
yes.
how you would define romantic love?
Yes.
Okay, then I
love that is not does not extend to your like family or your pets.
Or your friends.
Exactly.
Okay, fine. Then I will tailor that to here. What my argument still stands though, because when you have that someone that loves you on the purest and deepest level, what else really matters? Now, yes, you want money, and yes, you want to do things, okay? But I'll give you a great example. In my personal life right now, my father has not had the most steady of work, but my mom has, and my mom is actually going to be getting a new job. Is my dad bitter that he doesn't have steady work right now? Yes. But is he happy because of mom and her continuing to do good and, you know, she's about to get a great job with a great company? He's thrilled because his love outweighs his greed. Because, yes, he could say, I want to work because I want to make this money and everything. But he's happy for my mother. And if he was a If love meant nothing to him, he would be furious that his wife, which if you think about culture nowadays, you know, that his wife is making more than him. But my dad doesn't have that because my father loves my mother with all he has and vice versa. My mother supports him through this rough time. She calls him every day to see how he's doing, whether he's working or not. And my dad calls my mother, whether she is in sickness or in health, which she was sick last week and it sucked. But, you know, and she would like last Saturday, we were supposed to go to my niece's birthday party, but the snow totally kiboshed that. She was crushed and dad was there for her because he loved her because that is what matters the most to him is seeing his wife happy.
So and I respect that.
Clearly not.
I totally
you
understand.
Said that soulmates
no,
don't
I
exist.
No, they don't. But
they do.
Here's the thing, though. Right. I agree. And sometimes it just works perfectly, and that's great. But I don't think that that's because of a spiritual thing. I think that's because of the reality.
I'm saying love. Love is pure. Love has nothing to do with religion. And I'm a Christian. Okay.
Let's take the family out of it. Right. Let's put John and Susie together. Right. John and Susie. They are like the perfect couple. Like they do everything together. They never fight. They're always laughing and just having the best time together. They've been dating for like 6 years, and John's like, okay, it's time for me to propose to Susie because, man, we love each other.
Okay.
But one day, you know, they're walking through the mall together. Maybe John's got the ring in his pocket. He's really excited, and there's a little baby being pushed by a family in a carriage or whatever they call it. Yeah.
Okay.
And John says, "Whew, man, I am so glad that we're not going to have kids." And
oh,
Susie
you're
going to
go there. Oh,
what?
Wow.
I really wanted to have kids. And John goes, uh-oh, I really don't want to have kids. Like, that's a no-go for me. What do? They totally get along perfectly on every level, except for this one thing is a huge deal. Now, sure, they could stay together. And John could give in and have a kid with Susie. But then he's going to be sad. He's going to be angry and miserable.
Potentially.
That's going to be a black hole.
Potentially.
There's going to be tension about that. That's just the reality. That's not the lifestyle he wants.
But
you
that's
know?
The thing. Hold on. Now, you got to look at the flip side of that argument.
This is getting so real.
We are so. This is no longer the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. This is the philosophy the podcast. We are. Oh my gosh, we're PP. Ew. Okay, we'll change
great.
The name later.
Lovely.
Thank you. No, we're the Philosophy Entertainment Podcast. We're PEP.
We're PEP.
Okay. We're PEP. Anyway.
Well, this
conversation
sure isn't peppy.
Yeah, I'll work on it to make it peppy later. Peppy. No, wait. Peppy. That's do a barrel roll. Moving on. But no, you got to look at the flip side of that. Yes, he thinks that he doesn't want a child right now, but there is 50-50. You got to give me at least those odds that when he has a child and he holds that child in his arms, he goes, how could I have ever said I don't want you?
But but flip side, what if Susie goes, oh God, I hate this life. This is terrible. I didn't want that. It's like, that's my point is you don't know, like if you get into a relationship like that and everything is perfect, but there's one big agreement, it doesn't have to be a kid. It could be what house you want to move into or what car you like, or it could be what you want to paint your bedroom. There could be any line that gets drawn where it's like, okay, wait. At this point, this is an inconvenience for me. And then at that point, the relationship is like there's a black cloud hanging over it. And it could be a small little cloud or it could be a big deal. And if there's true love, you would think that, you know, at the end of the day, like that always is going to win. And if it doesn't, does that mean the whole love before that wasn't real? Like if John says, okay, I had to break up with Susie because I don't want to have a kid with her, does that somehow invalidate the rest of their love and say, oh, they were never in love? I would say not. I would say that they were in love, but something happened. Now, money, however, gets you stuff.
Oh,
and
gosh.
As Cho said, stuff is permanent. Now,
okay, that's it. Okay, I've done
all right, can
the Bible.
I
have done
talk?
The Bible. I have
on.
Done the Beatles. I am going to pull one last thing out on you. Even
oh, come
you
on.
Can't deny it. It's ready to this? I'm pulling out Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens the God. Okay, respect Charles Dickens.
Yeah, Charles Dickens. Ebenezer Scrooge.
He is an OG.
He had all the money. He had all the success. He had the business. He had the reputation. Bad reputation, mind you, but he didn't care because he was he had everything except love.
Except a
happy.
Good attitude.
Well,
no,
that too.
Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. And also, let's be honest, he did have love and it didn't work out, and that's what made
and
him.
No,
hey,
he refused to let
hold
it
up,
work out.
Hold up. We were limiting this to romantic love, not familial love.
Right.
We agreed to limit it.
He was
so
an orphan.
That doesn't count. Either.
He was an orphan, so he didn't have that option. He chose.
But he didn't have romantic love.
Right.
It wasn't romantic love that drove him to be a better person. And to me, that story has nothing really to do with love itself, but with compassion and empathy for
that's
the people
right.
around him. And
but
it was
he
an
used
interchange...
that through his money to do better in the world, including saving Tiny Tim.
Yes.
I couldn't help but notice that that's a story, though, and not
but
reality.
But it's a parable. It's a parable about life where you can have everything you think you want, and if there's no love in it, it
if
is
there's
hollow.
No compassion, if there's no compassion or empathy for others or kindness in your own heart, then it's nothing.
For people
doesn't
like
doesn't necessarily
us.
Have to do with love.
I agree.
And again, we agreed that this was going to be limited to romantic love.
And I was using this as a story of love. I was using it as a story of greed, which was my original point that money.
Well, then what the hell does this have to do with anything?
Okay, hold on. I agree.
You
with
just
you.
Kind of destroyed your own argument.
I did no
story.
Such thing. You just didn't
yes,
see
you
the
did.
Picture. You did not.
No.
Did not.
No, Todd.
Did not.
But for people like us, okay, so like we're all people who have been raised in a certain society, right?
Fair enough. If
we lived in a society that didn't value love? What if we lived in a society that what if we lived in Sparta, you know? Like, they didn't care about love very much. They were like warriors. That's what matters.
That's, if then you don't know about Spartan culture, because there's only three ways for you to get your name on a tombstone in Sparta, and one of them was through childbirth.
Okay. So I you're right, that might have not have been the best example, but I'm looking for a hypothetical situation
oh,
where
gosh.
There is a world.
Love and marriage were very different in those times.
That's
marriage
also
didn't
I will,
really
I will
have
grant
to do with
you
love
that.
Back
I will
then.
Grant you that. But the Spartans revered their women above all else because even if you look at 300 and that's an actual Spartan line, only Spartan women can breed real men. And that doesn't happen without, you know.
Okay, but what does valuing women have to do?
Right.
Okay, we're getting off topic. It's like not even making sense anymore.
Hey, he brought up the Spartans, and that's my
because
culture.
It's the point that the idea of love is a concept that changes over time. It's not like it's a concrete thing. Like, I and you're right, money's value decreases and increases over time. But at least, you know, there's permanence with that. Love could change in an instant. And you're right. Ideally, you know, every one of us will meet somebody that we're like, this person is the best. I am complete with them. However, I think that it's not fate that will happen. I don't think that is, and I don't think that's necessary for everybody to be happy.
But, okay, even if we
and you don't need love to be happy either. Can we be
right.
honest?
But you also
you
don't need a lot of money to be happy. If you have like only enough to survive, but you have, you know, a true love, That's more important in
but
many.
But you do need money to survive. You don't need love to survive.
Money
you
makes me happy. Money usually makes me happier than other people do.
I'm gonna remember that.
Sorry to say.
I'm gonna remember that.
People are fallible, and a lot of the times they'll let you down. Just disappointments are inevitable with people.
That's right.
All people are fallible. I'm
and
fallible.
That's true.
I'll probably disappoint you at some point.
Oh, you've already disappointed me
when
a lot.
When does money disappoint?
You disappointed me earlier today when we were talking about the Kamiya.
Yeah, but... oh, that's
oh,
true.
Gee,
see,
thanks.
See?
Yeah,
and just like Tyler.
Hey, money
like...
wouldn't let you down, would it, Tyler? If I was a big fat wad of cash,
nope.
I wouldn't talk
nope.
back to you, would I?
Nope. You
the
certainly
only thing,
wouldn't.
Only thing, if I were a fat wad of cash, the only thing I would be saying to you is, why don't you load up heroes and put some orbs on your account, Tyler.
That's right. Why don't you put some orbs on it? And I would be
this
like,
this is getting
oh,
weird.
And then
yeah.
you'd be like, boy, I sure am happy.
Okay, we'll go. We
got the 5-star Lynn. I'm hyped. Like,
all right, but let me talk now.
All right, I'm serious. We only got a few minutes left. We need to wind this down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm serious.
Well, you guys totally hogged this conversation.
Hey, you did. Look, hey, you did pretty good in the beginning.
Love isn't for everybody either. Romantic love.
I acknowledge that.
And you know what? I love myself.
That's
money. I don't know. I love things. I love stuff. I love my house. I love to spend money on my house. I like to spend money on myself. I like to buy things that make me happy. I don't know. I like money. And romantic love is not really my kind of thing. You know what I mean? I'm not really... I don't feel incomplete without... a romantic partner in my life. You dig?
100%.
I complete myself, and so, and the biggest focuses in my life are my career.
Uh-huh.
Not out of greed, mind you.
Uh-huh.
I'm not looking to be a millionaire, but I'm not going to say no to lots of money. And I do want to have enough money to support myself.
That's fine.
To support my house, to support my hobbies, to support my family. I don't know, man. To me, money over romantic love.
Uh-huh. Wait, hold on.
I don't
on.
Need romantic love to feel complete or to feel happy.
I understand. Wait, hold on. What's that, Alfred? Yeah, take the ring back. Cho's gonna say no. Okay, yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Geez.
Oh, still on the podcast. Come on. Crap. All right.
Yeah,
well,
right.
we're gonna end this very philosophical debate right there.
whatever, man.
This is serious. No, I'm serious. We honestly have to. We were almost doing it for 2 hours. We were supposed to do only an hour and a half. I blame Tyler. I'm the host. I can do that. So
no, but Tyler's a good boy. Leave.
Thank you.
I am now the Tyler defender.
Gosh.
That is my new title on this podcast.
Unless it comes to Kamiya. Because then you're against him.
Tyler, I respectfully disagree with you, but I will still defend you.
Thank you. Thank you. Gosh. And I actually appreciate her more because she carried me in the Ursula Grand Hero battle.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm getting a transmission from Will. I didn't mention waifus. Oh, well, that's a different kind of love, Will. That's a different kind of love. Okay.
If I could for Will.
Yes, amiibos,
you can get your Pearl and Marina amiibo soon too. They were announced.
Yes.
Also
yes,
by the Pearl
right.
one because Pearl's the best.
No, Marina's the best. Suck it.
Pearl's the best.
Now, boom. Question, are you buying if you buy the amiibos, are you buying them because you want them or are you buying them because you love Pearl?
I'm buying them because they will make me happy and they are permanent. They will always be on my desk looking at me.
That's
agreed.
A lot.
And every time I look and every time you look at them, you'll feel happy inside.
That's right. Every time I see Pearl's crown, I'll be like, oh, it's the coolest crown.
You'll just and then you can reach out and touch it and it's
yep.
right there. It's
yep.
always there for you.
Could you imagine if it had squishy head they had like the Metroid heads?
That would,
oh,
be, so
that would be so cool.
Enough.
Oh my gosh, I
Enough.
Would squish them all day.
Tyler, what was our poll question last week?
Yes, it was will there be a versus mode in Mario Kart Tour when it
oh,
launches?
Yeah.
94% of the people expect there to be a versus mode.
Dang. I can
yeah.
appreciate that. Alright, let's see, what do we talk about today? Okay. Let's do Metroid. Is it would it be all right if Bandai Namco made Metroid Prime 4? How about that? Because
yes.
that's still kind of a hot topic issue.
Sounds good.
So, would it be okay if Bandai Namco made Metroid Prime 4? A yes, B no, just that. Okay. And so with that, we are ending the 70th episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, arguably one of the most philosophical episodes we've ever done. And we've had
it's
a few
way
before.
Too real. Like, I was not expecting this to get real. I feel unprepared.
Yeah.
I came pretty loaded. I have a list of things that I still want to talk about.
Oh, so do I. We could totally do round two next week after we talk about how Love totally dominated the Splatfest.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. Now, everyone
is going to win.
You wish. Actually, that's not much of an insult because
hey,
you are wishing it would win.
Love
so.
isn't the reason that people are playing the Splatfest.
Yeah, they are because they love Splatfests. Duh.
Yeah, but they needed money to buy Splatoon and they needed money
that's
to
not true.
Buy a Switch.
That's not true. You could have been like me and got it for review code and got it for free.
Oh, Toddy.
Or
yeah,
or you could be borrowing it from a friend. Which
God.
Shows that they love you on a
I'm
platonic
hit you,
level.
Man.
anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Be sure to let us know what you thought of all the topics we talked about today, including the Splatfest, whether you're choosing love or money, what you think of all the third-party news about the Switch, all the Heroes update, who are you going to vote for in the Final Four of A Hero Rises. Do let us know. We thank you for listening. And Tyler, isn't Will back next week?
Will is back next week.
Okay, Will will be back next week. And Cho, if you want to join us again, we'll be happy to have you on.
Ooh.
And then Will can review a new one about how love is greater than money.
God, I miss Will.
Yeah, I miss Will too.
He'll be back.
And we will welcome him. We'll hopefully have a slew of new topics for you. So, before Tellius Tyler and Crumcho, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. Money can't buy me love, so raise the flag.